pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement of what we've heard this morning. We thank you for your word, and we pray that you will speak to us now, that you will teach us, that we will listen, and that by your grace we will obey it. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we gather today, as you well know, to say the building is over, long live the building. The building program, which started with a new church and culminated with the building of the two new houses, is all but over. And that is a cause for celebration. Although, who knows what other ideas may come forth in time. Retirement for Russell might be short-lived. Who knows? But as we celebrate the finishing of the houses, we say, long live the building. Long live the building of God's kingdom. We can now focus exclusively on the building of God's kingdom as Jesus has proclaimed in Asquith and beyond. Now, when it came time to select a passage for today, I couldn't think of anything better than 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that was just read, where Paul speaks of building. But as he is wont to do, he mixes his metaphors and he also speaks of gardening or agriculture. Now, I think he had a prophetic moment and knew that the church to come, and knew that the time would come when building buildings would also be involved with landscaping, with planting and watering. At least in our experience here, building and planting go hand in hand. The last few working bees have all had to do with planting and watering. So the agricultural metaphor and the building metaphor, yeah, I think in our experience they've gone together, haven't they? Now, did you know that the Bible says that gardening is a humble task? It is. Verse 7, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Now, in case you're a bit depressed at that point for all the gardening you've been doing, remember verse 8, each will be rewarded according to his own labour. Now, of course, that's not what the Bible is saying. It is talking about other planting and other watering. But hey, it fits in with our theme, and so thanks to all those that have done lots of watering and planting. Now, if you've been involved in the Working Bees, hands up those that have had some part in one of the Working Bees here with the church or the new houses. There's look at that, fantastic. Lots and lots of people. Now, if you've been involved in that, it must be said that some people have been more useful than others. It's true. I mean, as the shed was built in our backyard, I did some serious watching as others more skilled than I went to work. As I helped dig a trench, I succeeded in putting my back out and not being able to walk for a day or two. Last week, I provided entertainment value when I tried to wheel a wheelbarrow up a plank into a trailer and didn't quite make it. Yes, we have varying degrees of usefulness. But as we are in the real business of building for God's kingdom, how useful are we? As we get on with the work, with that work, how useful are we? An enormous amount has been achieved with so many getting in and working to bring today to fruition. But in the days and years ahead, how would you like your work for God's kingdom to be assessed? Indeed, what would you like God to say to you on the final day? No doubt we would all like to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We would like to have an impact in such a way that things that we do will carry on. We would like to think that we had achieved worthwhile things. We would like to see people's lives changed. But how can that be achieved? What things do we need to bear in mind so that our Christian service will be worthwhile and honouring to God? Well, in the passage before us in 1 Corinthians 3, there are two lessons that I'd like us to focus on this morning to enable us to achieve that goal of usefulness. Firstly, the foundation of our work must be the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 10, we see that in the case of the Corinthians, that Paul laid the foundation and that this foundation was Jesus Christ. And then verse 11, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you want to have a good building, then you must have good foundations. If you want to build correctly in the Christian life, then the foundation must be Jesus. All that we do must be based on teaching about him. It's the first point of our vision statement. We exist to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly. Now, other things will flow out of this teaching. This will be built upon, but this is the foundation. And so our mission statement tells us what we hope will flow out of this, that we will teach the Bible faithfully, that we will build a loving, serving, worshipping community, and that we will be equipped spiritually for our work and witness in the world, all to the glory of God. But the message of Jesus Christ is our foundation. And so previously in chapter 2 and verse 2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." There were those in the Corinthian church who didn't think that the message of Christ crucified was enough. They wanted to add to it. But we must ask, is the message of the cross the very foundation of all that we do? Sunday school, small groups, pastoral care, when we pray. Has it seeped into our bones that that is what our core business is, to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified? The teaching about Christ was teaching as to his death and resurrection and forgiveness of sins for all who turn to him. Paul here described himself as the wise master builder as he built on the right foundation. He built on the foundation of Christ. And so if you want that commendation on the last day, then you must build on that foundation. And so as the church is faced with the particular pressures of this millennium, and as it looks for new strategies to be relevant to society, and as it builds new buildings to be warm and welcoming, and as it considers means for evangelism, we need to remember that while some things will change, some things should never change. The foundation remains the same, and the foundation is Jesus Christ. The church stands or falls on this truth about Jesus. Richard Holloway is a retired bishop of the Episcopal Church in Edinburgh, the Anglican Church there, in other words. He was here this week for the Writers' Festival. What makes him attractive to many? It's this. He is not sure whether there is a God or whether there is an afterlife. Now, how can one get to such a point? By abandoning the very foundation of the faith, Jesus Christ. We must stay true to that, or the building of the church will fall like a house of cards. The second way to get that well done, and good and faithful servant, is by building upon the foundation in a careful manner. Not only is there a foundation, but there is building going on. Paul says in verse 10, "I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each one be careful how he builds." The building is a slow and ongoing process. Before the age of Bob the Builder and power tools, buildings could take centuries to complete. Although our buildings might have felt like that at times. But cathedrals in Europe, centuries. A temple in Paul's day took decades. So someone would lay the foundation and other builders would come along and complete various parts of the project as different builders died or retired. So Paul says each one must be careful how he builds. Now we know that in anything we have to be careful how we build. We can't just jump in and hope that it will work out all right in the smallest thing, let alone in a big building. Now, my building career started in first year high school, year 7, as it is now known. And I did quite a good job. There I was in woodwork, and I made a terrific breadboard, 75%, if I remember correctly. And my leaf dish, well, that was just a work of art. Great care in carving out the middle sections. Any peanut would have been proud to sit in my leaf dish. I still have it. At least I think I have it, because my wife's been chucking out things when I'm not looking in the moving process, but that's another story. But first year high school, and I considered myself to be a pretty wise builder. I thought I might go on to bigger and better things. But then second year, year eight came along, and we had to make an instrument case. So there I was, and the first task was to plane back the wood till it was levelled. And so I planed, and I planed, and I planed, not quite level, and I kept going. The end result, you would have been lucky to get a few sheets of paper in my instrument case. I was not exactly being careful in how I built. But Paul says, let each one be careful how you build. But the picture here is a little bit different from my work on that instrument case. We are actually building on the work of others. It's as if someone else had planed the wood perfectly smooth for me, and then I came along and put it together in a shoddy manner. I could undo the good of what had been done before. The foundation of the church has been laid for us, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we are building on that, and we have the potential for good or for ill. We need to be careful how we build. The faithful ministry of some can be undone by the foolish or unwise work of others. And there's a message for me here this morning, given that the previous rector is here, and I've come along to build on the work that was done by him. You see, each of us in our role will be a help or a hindrance in the work of the gospel. And we would do well to search our own hearts to see if we are building on the good work of others or if we are tearing down their efforts. Now, George Duncan was a minister in Scotland. He's since died, but I remember him speaking at CMS Summer School. And he put out this challenge. He said, are you a missionary or a mission field? Are you part of the answer or part of the problem? Are you part of the burden or are you under the burden? A foundation has been laid and another is building upon it, but let each one be careful how he builds. See, there is the danger of building upon the foundation with shoddy workmanship and inferior materials. And friends, if you do that, one day the day of reckoning will come. Notice the emphasis on the builders being accountable. As I made my instrument case, I knew that one day I would have to walk out the front and show my work to the teacher. And he would mark it. And every week that I came to woodwork and I did a bit more work on this thing, I was dreading that day. And when the day arrived, I felt physically ill about the prospect of doing so. He took one look at it, had pity on me, and gave me 50%. The problem is, in our building, so many do shoddy work and don't even give a thought to the day of reckoning. But that day is surely coming. Verse 12. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, it's tricky to work out exactly what that means, and it's certainly not a reference to purgatory or anything like that. But what we need to remember this morning is that the day refers to the day of the Lord, the day when we will all have to stand before him and give account for what we have done. And in Paul's analogy, there are only two groups, those whose work will withstand the fire and those whose work doesn't. There is good work or shoddy work. So all Christian leaders should take note that it is possible to build the church with such shoddy materials that you have nothing to show for your labours at the end of the day. Even if the foundation is Jesus Christ, that foundation can be built on in a shoddy way. Well, what can we do that is shoddy? Doing nothing and resting on our spiritual shovels is shoddy work. Not being faithful in the responsibilities we have is shoddy work. Not praying, not preparing well is shoddy work. Emptying the cross of its power is shoddy work by denying that Jesus died in our place. So much preaching is devoid of the cross. We've just got a new TV in our house, and so last night first time I could access the Australian Christian Channel. And there was a very prominent Sydney preacher on, not from an Anglican church, and he was talking about our needs. Now, I didn't hear the whole talk, But the cross didn't come into play. Because it's not always fashionable, is it? See, building the church with management skills or with smooth talking, with entertainment, with taking away the difficult bits and going soft on the unpalatable parts of God's word is all shoddy work. And yes, having a crossless Christianity is shoddy work. Of speaking of victory without suffering. Of speaking of success, but not denial. Of speaking of resurrection without death. In short, of not resolving to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Friends, we must be careful how we build. Live and serve in the light of the judgment day, for we must give an account of our building. And in building God's church, whose approval should we seek? Only the one who will test the quality of our work on the last day. Not the world around us. Not your Christian friends. Certainly not the rector. Definitely not the archdeacon. No, the only approval we should seek is that of the one who died for us and rose again. So friends, let us lay the right foundation. Let us be careful how we build. As we've heard, we stand at a strategic time in the life of St. John's. We have wonderful physical buildings to assist us in the proclamation of our Lord and Saviour. Let us say thanks to God for His wonderful goodness to us in the completion of these buildings. But let us get on with the real work of proclaiming Jesus. So roll your sleeves up, put on your work boots, and let's get going. For being a builder is a marvellous profession, being co-workers with Jesus in building the kingdom of God. Amen.